Welcome everyone. I know some people are still on their way in, but we're going to make a start as it's 10 past one, and that way we can make sure we finish on time as well. As you come in, do come and fill up these tables at the front. That's right, be brave, Matt Evans.
Thanks, Richard.
Otherwise no one else will. And it's our birthday today. Happy birthday to the Moorgate Talks. It's great to be able to look back on this past year as we're going to be today, and I think we've got lots to thank God for, and it's also a good opportunity to remind ourselves of why we're here. This time last year, I spoke on the subject, Why Public Talks, and we looked at Acts 19 and 20 on that occasion. How many of you were here? Just stick a hand in the air if you were here for that first talk. 2, 4, 6, 7. And actually, the majority of people weren't here then. So I guess that demonstrates to us the blessing it's been to get to know new people, but also the turnover, because there were lots of people here a year ago, and some of those have moved away from the area. Some of them are no longer able to get out on Wednesday lunchtimes and so on. Well, we're going to use our first few minutes today to review that teaching on Acts 19 and 20. So if you are one of those six or seven who were here a year ago, my apologies. This is going to be familiar to you, assuming, of course, that you remember everything that's said up front on a Wednesday lunchtime. And for those who didn't hear that, hopefully it'll be useful for you to hear why we think we're here. Just to say, if you're here for the first time or just dipping in as a visitor today, this isn't what our regular Wednesday lunchtimes are like. So do come back next week and see a more usual talk. Today is really intended for committed Christians. Let's just start before I launch into Acts 19 and 20. If you turn to the third page inside the handout, you'll see there's a question there at the top of the page. What's the purpose of lunchtime talks? Before I tell you what my answer to that is, why don't you just turn to those around you as you eat and just discuss it around your tables for a minute or two. What's the purpose of lunchtime talks? Okay, let me break into those conversations there. Sorry not to give you much time. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to take feedback on what your conclusions were. But if what I say over the next 5 or 10 minutes is radically different to what you said around your tables, then maybe you could let me know at the end, because that would be good to hear. When the Apostle Paul gave his farewell speech to the elders from Ephesus, which is recorded in Acts 20, he said this. It's there on your sheet. He said, "I've not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house." And that's Paul's pattern of ministry, and I think he intended it partly as a model for us, speaking the word of God publicly and from house to house. Or I think the house-to-house element translates in our context to workplace-to-workplace, desk-to-desk, water-cooler-to-water-cooler. That private element of speaking about the Lord Jesus, one-to-one or in small groups, is the reason why we run the Christianity Explored course each term, and partnership groups here, and why we encourage people to be involved with workplace fellowships. But Paul isn't satisfied with just speaking about Jesus behind closed doors, and neither should we be. There's an essential public element to Christian ministry. In some places, the apostles spoke the word publicly in synagogues and in temples. I guess it's not so obvious where the opportunities are for that for us here in the city during the working week. In some places, Paul spoke in the street or in marketplaces. Again, that may have its place, but I'm not sure that sort of ministry is as culturally normal today, or maybe as effective, particularly in the city. In Ephesus itself, among the people that Paul was speaking to in Acts 20, his public ministry looked different. And we're told about it in the second quotation there on the sheet. Paul took his disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. Paul's pattern, starting with maybe no more than a dozen, was to start holding public meetings in a lecture hall. And for us here at the Moorgate Talks, The Cuban is simply a convenient place for us to do a similar thing. Public teaching about Jesus Christ so that people will come to know him and to grow in their discipleship. That's what we're about. Notice the terrific effect of Paul's public ministry in Ephesus. Verse 10 is the second half of that second quotation. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Within a couple of years, maybe 1 million people heard about Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? The impact of that simple ministry of throwing open the doors and speaking about Jesus was massive. If God would choose to do just 1% through the Moorgate talks of what he did through Paul's Ephesus talks, that would mean 10,000 people hearing the word over 2 years here in the city. And we're already a year in to our ministry. Now, I take it that we're not meant to think that there were 1 million people attending the Ephesus talks all at once. Presumably, some people came to hear the talks themselves, but then they went back to their homes and their villages and their workplaces and told people what they'd heard. When I worked for a lunchtime ministry like this in the past, I've told you about this before, there was a chap who came along every week and took notes on the talk. He tried inviting his colleagues to come with him, but they always refused. But they did ask him, though, when he went back to the office, what he'd been taught. They'd swing their chairs round and he would take them through his notes from the talk each week. And so the word of the Lord went out in that workplace. And maybe the same will be true of you in your workplace. So our aim, like Paul's, is to speak about Jesus publicly and privately. We pray that as you come to hear the word of the Lord every Tuesday, every Wednesday lunchtime, then you'll take it back to your workplaces. The people will start to notice that you come here regularly on Wednesdays, and they'll start to ask you about it, and that the public teaching here will be fuel for those private conversations that go on behind closed doors. Conversations which I can't access, Ruth or Phil or others can't access, but you can. That's why we put on these Wednesday talks, so that Christians would be encouraged to live as Christians, especially in their workplaces, and so that those who aren't yet Christians get to hear the word of the Lord, either by coming here themselves or on the lips of you guys as you go back to your offices. Can I say that we're not just trying to add commitments to already busy Christian diaries? We're not trying to compete with your Sunday church commitments. In fact, we don't want to be main church for anyone. We're a mission congregation. We want to do what we can for the word of the Lord to get out among people from the offices around here, and for the kingdom of Jesus Christ to grow and to flourish. I'd like us just to get a taste of how that can happen now by glimpsing what God has been doing in one person's life. And I'm going to ask Mark Winterburn to come up and join me. Great. Mark, just tell us. Now, I know that lunchtime talks like this have been a real influence for you over the last 10 years or so. I know that you had some sort of Christian influences as you were growing up, but just tell us where you were at spiritually before you first went along to lunchtime talks.
Yeah, I think I grew up in a household where we went to church on a Sunday. It's what our grandparents did. We knew all about God and the Bible stories, but I didn't really understand that Jesus was my Lord and Saviour, and I didn't really know the in-depth what it meant to be a Christian. I just did the going to church bit.
And were you living as a Christian?
No.
When you started going to lunchtime talks?
No, I think I've got quite a colourful past, and I've been married more than once, which is not particularly good, but I wasn't living as a Christian. So although I would have said I was a Christian, I went to church, what I did the other 6.5 days a week didn't correspond with going to church.
And just tell us then, you started going along to the lunchtime talks over at St Helens, didn't you?
Yeah, about 10 years ago, when the Jubilee line was being built, I was working with a Christian, and he started to really challenge me about what my beliefs were. And we used to, we were working near Westminster, and we would take the half an hour trek to St. Helens. And with what he was telling me during the day and with what we were doing on the Wednesday, I really came to understand what it was all about, really, and what the bigger picture was. But unfortunately, that only lasted a couple of years, and then I sort of went back out working outside of London. And that was about 2 years ago. I came back on the East London line and found St. Helens again.
And you've been coming along here to the Moorgate Talks for, what, 6 months?
Yeah, about 6 months. It's taken me about 20 minutes again to get to St. Helens. I didn't have a proper church to go to in the village I was living in, and I'd been away from Christianity a bit in that 10-year period. Life hadn't been too good for me then, because my actions took me away from God, really. So the guys at St. Helens suggested a good church for me to go to, where it really is good. It's teaching from the Bible. And then they said, look, you're only up at near Bonhill Street, near the Royal Artillery there. This place is a lot closer. So I've been coming here about 6 months. And then to aid with everything else that's going on in my life, Richard's given me some reading material and some other useful things. So I'm not just doing the one day a week. I've got input on a Monday here and on a Wednesday here. And instead of it's me by myself having to go from Sunday to Sunday, I'm getting spiritual feeding sort of every few days, really.
That's great. And God's starting to use you to now be a witness to your work colleagues, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because I used to go out with them at lunchtime, and then they see that I'm not going with them, where am I going? So I tell them, and now they don't ask me. there's been some corkers. One was, we learned once from William Taylor that, because you see, if you talk about Jesus, nobody wants to know, but if you talk about the devil, it's all good, isn't it? So, like I said to them, what did you do today, in a sort of mocking way? And I said, well, what I learned from that, the devil's main job is to convince all you lot that Jesus doesn't exist, and he's doing a pretty good job so far, isn't he? So, and then we're really busy at the moment getting ready for a mediation process, and we were really gearing up for a date, which was last Wednesday, when I think the talk was a day that really matters. And somebody saw the flyer on the desk, because I was finding it difficult to say, you know, I said to Richard, well, what do you think I should do? He said, why don't you just put this flyer on your desk? And that had been picked up, and they looked at it, and the day that really mattered, and it coincided with the day all our papers had to be in. And they said, oh, this is fantastic, I'm going to photocopy this and email it to everybody on the team, that's my boss. So in a slow way, the message is getting out there, but I still haven't got any takers, but they're being challenged slowly. Last week I couldn't come, and I said, well, what am I going to do about my salvation, you know? So just in small bits, and just being sort of quite light-hearted about it, I think there's something happening in the office, which is good, and it's not too scary for me either.
Mark, that's great, and hopefully that will be a real encouragement to other people who maybe are new to things themselves, maybe struggling to find the courage to tell their colleagues about where they're going on Wednesday lunchtimes and so on. And hopefully everyone can identify with at least part of Mark's story and be encouraged by it, that God does change people through what can often look fairly kind of small and unimpressive gathering on a Wednesday lunchtime. Sometimes the talks aren't very impressive, and it might be easy to go away and think, well, you know, what spiritual good is this doing? But we hope and pray that there'll be many who God will work in as he's been working in your life, Mark, over the last few years. Mark, thank you very much. We're going to move on now, and you may be aware that the Moorgate Talks is led informally by an advisory group of a bunch of people that meet every couple of months, and a smaller group of elders we call ourselves, even though some of us are quite young. The four elders are me, James Savin, our treasurer, Andre McLean, who can't be here this lunchtime, and Ian McLennan. And Ian is going to come and present our brief report on how the first year has gone. Ian.
Thank you, Richard. Bear with me whilst I juggle with the mic. It's been a joy to be part of the Moorgate Talks since they started last March, and it's my privilege to be able to present the first annual report. Anyone who's got any kind of involvement in Christian ministry rapidly realizes that it's a spiritual endeavor, and that can only progress and bring glory to God if God himself prospers the work. People hear and receive the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. That requires a miraculous work of God. And so it's right for us today to be giving thanks to God for having worked out his purposes in the Moorgate area and through the Moorgate Talks over the last year. For my part, it's a joy to be associated with a group of people such as yourselves who are eager to listen to God's word, to encourage one another in Christ, and to create an environment where inquirers of all sorts are able to come and meet with the Lord Jesus through his word, and as well as asking questions. To me, it's very clear that earnest prayer, as well as consistent and faithful exposition of God's word, are the bedrock of everything that's happening here in the Moorgate Talks. And I'd like to acknowledge and thank all of those of you who are praying for the work here, and also those of you who put a lot of time and effort into preparing talks. We're very grateful for the efforts and the way you serve us in this way. Looking back over the last year, the numbers at Wednesday Talks have varied, but they've averaged just over 30. And it's, as Richard mentioned already, it's noticeable there's a lot of change, so a lot of new faces come and older faces go, but it's great to see everybody here. We run a number of special events, and our plan is to run a drinks evening with a taster talk approximately on a termly basis. So do please ask about those. We'll try and advertise them well in advance. Put them in your diaries, and do invite people to the taster talks with the drinks and taster talks. I think that's a good event. We're also going to be holding a half day together on the 2nd of April, so please come to that if you can. And in addition to that, following our Moorgate weekend away last October, we're going to have another one this October, is the plan. In connection with Christmas, we need to decide whether to do another carol service at the end of the year, or to perhaps to switch to a different event. How about Christmas at the Cuban here? The cost of the carol service is significant, and last year the attendance was a little bit low, so we need to think about how best to do that. I'm very encouraged that the men's and the women's discipleship groups are well established, and each term's Christianity Explored course has drawn quite a number of people, and there's been a lot of spiritual progress and fruit from those. That's really encouraging. Please take a look at the summary of the finances on the sheet here. And we've made good progress in covering our costs, the main element of which is the reimbursement of our share of the staff costs. Richard and Ruth are employed by St. Botolph's Aldersgate, and so we contribute towards the staff costs. There's an allocation of their cost to the Moorgate Talks. While there's still a shortfall of about £5,800, giving by individuals has been increasing steadily. And I'd like to thank all of you. If you give to the Moorgate Talks, thank you very much. And if you don't yet give to the Moorgate Talks, please consider prayerfully if you should be filling in a standing order. Even a small amount, £5 or £10 a month, would be really, really helpful to help defray the costs. There will be some major changes in staffing this year. Phil is leaving us. He's a secondment from St. Helens, finishes at Easter, so he will be going back to St. Helens, so we'll be losing him. And also Ruth Riordan is planning to move on in the summer. This leaves us very short, and so we've been advertising for one or two associates or part-time workers. There are a couple of possibilities at the moment, but there's no certain candidates. So please pray that God will bring forward the right candidates to allow us to fill those positions. Much has indeed been accomplished over the last year, so it's right to record thanks. And I'd like to thank particularly the staff, the hard work by the staff, that you've put into the Moorgate Talks. Richard Bray, Phil Martin, and Ruth Riordan, I'd like to thank them. You've given sacrificially and faithfully. Thank you for your encouragement and your support to each one of us. I'd like to thank also all of those who are involved in stewarding, and in particular Kate McNabb, who puts together the stewarding rota. Thank you very much for that. It's great to be greeted by that friendly face, and it's hard to walk past them in that narrow corridor up there, which is fantastic. So it's a good opportunity to say hello and to greet one another there. There are many who've also kindly arranged office space for Christianity Explored courses, given time to lead and to speak at these courses. Matt Evans is right in front of me here, and he's been very heavily involved in those. And so thanks also to those. And then even there have been individuals who've pounded the streets around Moorgate, taken down details off brass plaques of firms that we might want to contact to let them know about the Moorgate talks. I think Susanna Trafford, who's not with us at the moment, she's in Bristol at the moment on secondment, but she bears special mention there. So please would you join me in expressing our appreciation, particularly to staff and all the others involved, in the traditional way of the round of applause.